So as I was watching you sing this morning, most of you were dragging your leg and your voice, and some of you looked like this. I take it that means you had a great time with your family and friends as you celebrated Christmas morning, Christmas Day. Some of you, I guess, celebrated on the 24th in terms of exchanging of gifts. Our children went back home on Friday afternoon by way of Sprague and visited with Tim and Val. And Renee and I were numb for about a day and a half, just trying to recover. It had been a while since we had four live wires in our midst, and wow, I'll tell you, those of you who have four little ones, I pray for you. Right, Frank and Irina? And others? Okay, we want to break bread together. We want to give opportunity for different ones to share from God's word and prayer. And we'll remember the Lord. And I think it's important for us to do so in light of the Christmas season. And so the psalm that was read this morning points us to the coming King. And we may get a chance to talk a little more about that. If we don't, we'll do it some other time. So, fellas, if you want to share something from God's word, please feel free to come forward.
In keeping with Christmas, as we've just celebrated here, turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 25. When we remember Jesus, well, it's good to remember a lot of the things that kind of, the instances where God used other people and circumstances to show that this was his son. So Luke chapter 2, verse 25, it's Mary and Joseph had just taken Jesus to the synagogue, I guess, to have him circumcised, and they meet this old man. His name is Simeon. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and he had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. As you have promised, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel." And Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, not only that Jesus died for us, but also that he was born here on the earth. He lived his 30 plus years, giving us a bit of an example of how to live in this earth. He has experienced everything that we've experience. And we thank you for this example. We also thank you for the way you revealed to Simeon that this was your son. Just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
And turn to John chapter 1. Just as we celebrate communion, think of how amazing it is, just God's love and his grace for us, that the God of all gods, the God who has always existed and will always be, came down to earth as a man and the sacrifice that he made. So let's just look at John 1, starting at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have received one blessing after another." Other versions say, "Grace upon grace." It's endless the grace that he has for us. "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Let's pray. Father, today we are so grateful to you for your love for us, for your grace, and for your mercy. We're grateful that you sent your Son, and for Jesus, for being willing to come to live as a man and to take the punishment that we deserve. And today we remember that. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us, that our lives might reflect what you've done for us. Pray in your name. Amen.
This may not be exactly in keeping with what we just celebrated, but definitely it's worth reading. 1 John chapter 5, starting at verse 1. "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that we have. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, but he has not believed the testimony, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." When you read it like that, it sounds pretty simple. And in a sense, it does keep within with the message that we just celebrated and with the season, because it's what he came for. Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for your word again. It's rich. It's good to just read it and see the simplicity there, of what you've done for us and how simple you made it for us. I do pray that we can understand that and to have a desire to walk with you and to just live out our lives for you, to be lights of the world like we heard earlier this morning. I do thank you again for each one here, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
First time the Lord Jesus went into Jerusalem, we read about in Luke chapter 2, he didn't have anything to say. Some years later, though, we come down to Luke chapter 2, verse 41. It says that every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. Boys and girls, we have a little bit of a story that helps us understand the Lord Jesus is just like us. It says, when he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking that he was in their company, they traveled on for a day, and then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. Obviously, there's a lesson to be learned here, is that you don't stray from your parents, right? You let them know where you're going, what you're doing. It says, when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him, and after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" A very insightful statement being made in verse 50, which I think all too often is true for each of us. Even if we sit here and we hear the story over and over again, although we marvel at seeing our children maybe understand something for the first time, and we're happy, we're grateful, but there's something about the coming of the Lord Jesus, as Jody made reference to, and as Simeon and Les made reference to, that is just mind-boggling. That God would send his son to become a child, to become a man, and take on human flesh. But they did not understand what he was saying to them. So he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them, but his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. May you reflect upon these passages here this morning. I ask those of you who are serving communion this morning to come forward at this time. As you do so, Psalm 24, just a reference to verse 6. Background to Psalm 24 is believed to be the bringing in of the ark into Jerusalem. The ark, of course, represented God's presence. And so when the ark was being brought into Jerusalem, it was to symbolize the very presence of God. And so as Jesus entered Jerusalem, and being the offering being offered at that time, as Joseph and Mary sought to honor God their Father with the dedication of their son, they offered the right offerings. The question that's being asked in verse 3 is that who may ascend the hill of the Lord? You could put in there, what man may ascend the hill of the Lord? Of course, none of us can come into the very presence of God apart from the shed blood of Christ. That's the point that's being made by the writer to the Hebrews. And so such is the generation, such is this generation, the author writes, verse 6, of those who seek that man. What man? The man who can actually come into the very presence of God. The one who seeks your face. And so as we were reading in Luke chapter 2, as the Lord Jesus went to the temple, seeking to do his Father's will. That's what we seek to do here today. And I pray that you'll continue to worship God, even though you're tired, even though you're dragging a little bit, even though you got one more turkey to stuff. I don't know what you're doing today, but I didn't mean your husbands, ladies. But to celebrate, to worship God, to not forget why we're here, and to not allow your body to overwhelm you, but rather to, in your spirit, to say, Lord, I thank you that we have the freedom that Koreans don't have. We can openly worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's break bread together.
Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, first of all, but Lord, we thank you for this bread which represents your broken body. And as we partake here, as we think of how you suffered for us, how your body was broken for us, how you were born on this earth when you didn't need to, how you loved us, how you loved those in North Korea as well. We just pray, Lord, that you would help us understand. I know Mary and Joseph had trouble understanding what Jesus was saying to them, and sometimes we do too, but Father, help us to understand, help us to remember here what you have actually done for us, in Jesus' name.
First John chapter 2 says that the Lord Jesus came. We have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus, who gave his life so we might have sins forgiven, but not only for us, but for people around the world, men and women, boys and girls who don't yet understand God's marvelous grace. The Apostle Paul didn't understand it. And when he was confronted by the Lord Jesus on the Damascus Road, he clearly changed direction, changed his message, had a heart transformation. He writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'"
Lord God, we thank you again this morning for your word, that you've provided it for us so that we can read and understand all the things that you've done for us. We thank you for the blood that you spilled on our behalf. And we pray, Lord, that as we celebrate these times together, that it would remind us that when we fall, when we sin, that we would quickly come to you for forgiveness, that our relationship would be restored. We thank you for this availability to us, that we can just do it so freely. We can come to you because of what you did for us. I pray this in your name. Amen.
Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. For Christ died for our sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. In the same way, after supper, Lord Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so the Lord is coming again. Hallelujah. And although they failed to recognize him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords on that triumphal day prior to his crucifixion, there'll be a day when he'll ride in victory. And we read about that in Scripture, meant to encourage us, meant to strengthen us, so we wouldn't be weary in well-doing. Let's stand together and we'll close off in a word of prayer and then allow you to get home and feed your kids. Thank you, Lord, for each one here this morning. Thank you for what we've heard from your word. Ryan and Amanda and their work in North Korea, pray that you'd continue to work out your purposes in and through their lives. But not only their lives, our lives right here. You want to accomplish a work in Winkler through believers here in Winkler throughout the world. And so we pray that we would reflect upon that even during this Advent season, that we would be sure to give you praise, glory, and honor, realizing that the price that has been paid, that although he was rich, he became poor. Although he gave his life, he gave his life so that we might have life. And that we would have life that is abundant. Not simply going to heaven when we die, but to have peace in our hearts and the ability to say, "I forgive you." And so thank you, Lord, for forgiving us and demonstrating that on Calvary. Thank you for the resurrection that speaks of the power of transformed life. And so may we live resurrected lives. Go with us now. Help us to be loving throughout this day and throughout the week to come as we remember different ones that come to our minds or on our hearts, people we work with, people, of course, who may not know you, who need you. May we do all that we can, all that you would have us to do, and live as Jesus lived. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet each other with a holy handshake and have a great day.